Hello, dear listeners, and welcome to the thrilling conclusion of our two-part Halloween special, Carnival of Craven. You know our guests, you know our players, and unfortunately, we do not have time for introductions because we left a few of our teen ne'er-do-wells in quite dire straits at the end of our previous episode, so why don't we dive right in? CJ, you are strapped into this ride, you are on the abduction avenue, you pull out your concealed weapon, aim it at the mechanical creature poised to attack you, fire, it explodes in sparks, but in response, it reaches out for you, extends beyond what the mechanism holding it back should be able to release, and claws against your chest. You would take 3 harm from this, but because of your special ability, that harm will not impact you until after you're out of this fight.
Oh, man.
I also have 1 armor.
You have 1 armor, so you will take 2 harm.
Is this not a kick some ass, like, fight roll or something like that?
It is, but when you are in close quarters and you roll kick some ass, even if you're successful, you still take damage back.
Robin, just for folks getting familiar with Monster of the Week, can you give us a rundown on harm as in how high stakes is 2 harm?
Absolutely.
How many harm can you take before you're dead?
Right. You can't take a whole lot. Generally, everybody has 7 points of harm that they can take. Once you hit 8, you are donezo. You are out of this. So taking 2 is already a pretty sizable dent. And let me tell you, there are critters around here that will deal more than just 3. So,
oh,
not like that.
It scratches across your chest. You are locked into this ride, so you don't have any reasonable way of getting away. But you are able to glance the blow somewhat. The creature would deal 3 harm to you, but because you have armor, that goes down by 1.
All right.
God, these football pads are finally doing something good.
This thing is bearing down on you. You see the sparks flying off of the spring load as it is starting to dislodge itself from the walls of the ride.
Ooh.
What do you do now?
So I'm, like, strapped into, like, a more or less, like, a roller coaster-esque chair.
Yes, it's one of those kinds of indoor rides where it's just making sure that you don't get out and fuck with the building.
Mm-hmm.
So you're moving on a slow-moving track, and this is on the car now. And next to you, this stranger that you dragooned into joining you is like, the fuck? What's going on? What?
These things never get me. I believe he said last time.
Yo, guy, what's your name?
As he is freaking out, trying to extricate himself from the car, he's like, Terrence, who got...
Okay, Terrence, I need you to get it together. What we're going to do is we're going to push on this lock on 3. You got that?
Okay.
Okay. 1, 2, 3.
And we're going to push on the, like, safety latch that's over us.
All right. I'm going to call that.
Is the safety latch a fairy?
Girl.
It is.
It's actually wild that you asked.
Okay. I'm going to call this a protect someone roll, which is another plus tough.
Okay. So I have an ability called Never Again, where in combat I may choose to protect someone without rolling, as if I had rolled a 10, but you may not choose the suffer little harm option.
Okay.
Is that something I could apply to this situation?
Absolutely, yeah. You are the one who is keeping calm here, definitely not Terrence, who is freaking out.
Nice.
I would like to choose the option of hold the enemy back.
Okay.
So, like, to, like, wrestle and grapple this thing.
Yeah, absolutely. The two of you brace for this. 1, 2, 3. You shove at the crossbar covering your crotch area and slam it into the crotch area of the machine.
Nice.
It is lodged in place and held there. Its claws are still loose and will slash at you again. You will take another 3 harm drop down to 2. But Terrence is free to escape, and he scrambles up over the back of the chair, the back of the chair of the car. He goes, bye, dude, sorry.
Get out, tell everybody.
Wow.
All right, we're going to jump over to Zora, who was left at a bit of a cliffhanger of her own.
Ooh.
Zora, you are focused in on this malfunctioning target and the malfunctioning duck on the Lucky Ducky Squirt and Shoot. And you do not notice the imposing, giant, demonic, cute little eared duck bearing down upon you. There is a creaking sound as it dislodges itself from the roof of the game and crashes down upon you. You take 2 harm.
Oh no.
And now it is wiggling. The duck does not have real appendages of any kind. The arms are stuck to its side, but it is wiggling towards you. And is just kind of waddling at you as best it can without the functionality necessary to really move. What do you do?
That's a great question. I'm going to try and punch, then kick it off of me.
Okay, I will let you make a choice here. Do you want to kick some ass and try to fight this thing off of you? Or do you want to try and act under pressure and find an opportunity to slither away?
That's also a great question. I'm going to act under pressure. I'm going to try and slither my way out.
Okay.
I got 6 + 5 = 11 + 1 = 12.
Ooh,
whoa,
there you go,
that is
Zora.
Wild. Okay.
Ooh.
So this thing is chomping at you. Like I said, as best it can. This was designed to be a stationary light up duck, but you see the metal form of its beak is ripping open as it laughs. The wings plastered to the side are tearing away from its body, exposing its innards as it tries to act like an actual duck. And
yuck.
In the process of it trying to become a more fearsome beast that it was not designed to be, you are able to roll yourself out from underneath it. And you are free to move.
I would like to read a bad situation right now.
All right. Are you looking to escape this situation or stop this situation?
I would like to stop this situation, but I'm still curious about what this situation is, which is where my...
Cool. Yeah. Go ahead and roll. Read a bad situation. That is plus sharp.
All right. 3 + 5 = 8 + 2 = 10.
You are rocking out with these
nice
rolls.
Hell yeah.
It's all right. I promise. I don't lie about the dice.
no fudge here.
I hope not.
All right. So you get to ask me 3 questions.
Okay. So Zora is a little chaotic at this place in her life. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all of that time at Mastermind Academy really didn't do all of the things that it probably promised it would do, whether or not she knows that yet. But the first question that I have is, what is my best way in? I kind of want to figure out what's the best point of attack inside this thing.
Ooh. Well, it has exposed itself both at the beak and under the wing as it is trying to make itself more duck-like. So you can see the innards of the machinery.
Okay. My second question is there any danger with this that I haven't noticed yet?
Yes. The immediate threat is the machine itself, but you don't know how the machine came to be or why it is operating this way. So even destroying the machine might not end the threat.
Okay. And then what is the best way for me to protect myself since I'm the victim? And that's part of the question.
Hey, reasonable. Short of destroying the machine itself, the best thing to do would be to contain it.
which it's fairly large, but if you can find a large enough object nearby to clamp down over it, that could do it. So I think your options are either destroy it outright or enclose it.
Uh-huh. So can I make another move right now?
I think that as you're reading this bad situation, it will have an opportunity to make another move. And I think it will recognize Candy as the greater, the easier victim at this point.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to go after Candy.
That's fine.
So it is wiggling on the ground. You see pistons popping out of its underside in order to become little duck feet, so it can scramble a little faster at Candy, and snaps at one of her legs.
What?
Jesus,
that's getting clipped.
How dare you? How dare you?
I am going to do a kick some ass, and I'm going to use my knife to try and, like, hack away at some of those open wires in the wing, because I feel like there's not going to be any space for me to get into the beak. I'm gonna roll plus tough. A 10 plus 1, an 11.
Yeah. Mm.
Fantastic.
There you go.
All right, so you have options now.
Great. So I'm going to choose for my extra effect to inflict plus 1 harm onto the machine. So I used my knife, which inflicts 2 harm, plus that 1, that's 3 harm total on the machine, in the wires, on the mouth.
Yeah, very nice. It is, Dora. All there right. You go.
You jam your knife up in there, and you take 1 harm just from the shock of sticking a metal object into an electrical area.
Fair.
You know, yeah, you're, no, that's very fair. That's very, very
so you
fair.
Do, you get an electrical burn on your arm as you dig your arm up in there, but you're doing serious damage to the internal workings of this duck, which is not designed to do all that much other than just be a happy little smiling duck with light up eyes. You see it open its beak up to screen this noise, and Candy hurries away, her leg bleeding, to avoid it. This thing looks in rough shape and is barely holding on. Because of that shock to your hand that holds your knife, and I assume is also your dominant hand, you are going to take minus 1 ongoing just as you are dealing with the pain of the shock to your arm.
So is that another harm point or just in general?
That is a minus 1 to your rolls until this pain in your hand is dealt with.
Gotcha.
Mm.
But you have an opportunity here. You can try and stab again, take this thing out all the way, or you can help Candy book it. Or a third, as yet unnamed option.
Yeah, or a chaotic third choice.
You can do anything.
I try to befriend the duck.
I make out with the duck.
I kiss it.
I seduce the duck.
I'm going to seduce that squirting duck so hard.
It's my turn.
The ducky's getting lucky tonight.
That ducky's going to squirt and shoot, I'll tell you
what. Yay!
Oh, I'm freaking in it to win it. Can I use one of my expert moves? Because I'm an expert.
Yeah. Go for it. What are you going to use?
If it's possible, I would like to use preparedness, which is when you need something unusual or rare, I roll plus sharp, which would, instead of being a plus 2, would be a plus 1, since I take a minus 1 on my rolls right now. But I would like to find something to contain, like, large enough nearby to contain this beast, to, like, hold it.
Great.
Okay, let's see. Don't let me down. Not this time. Oh, no. Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
I don't like that.
I got a 5.
Okay, that's not terrible.
It just,
at least you get experience.
I get 1 point of experience, and on a miss, I know where it is, but it's somewhere real bad.
Zora, there is a barrel full of water around the back of this booth. So you would have to manhandle this duck around to the back of the booth and dunk it.
Dunk that duck.
It's like one of those barrels of water where you can bob for apples or some shit like that.
It's a dunk tank.
Like a dunk tank.
Dunk that duck.
Dunk that duck.
Oh my God. I don't know how I'm still here. I should have freaking booked it with Candy.
We're going to switch over to Lane and Eddie now.
Perfect.
Okay. We're not within sight of this, are we?
You are not within sight of this.
Can we hear screaming?
They're screaming everywhere. You're in an amusement park.
Ah, damn it.
Yeah.
They're roller coasters.
Okay.
This sucks.
Yep. Hey, man, I thought of an idea.
Yeah? What?
So hear me out, right? I was trying to get Coop to go look at the electricity and stuff, but I haven't really been able to convince him to do that. So I was thinking maybe because my guy, Jimmy Sparks, is asking for more cables. That means he's already got cables. And I think this has something to do with the electricity. So maybe if we grabbed one of his cables and followed it to the source of electricity, we might find something.
It's worth a shot.
Like, we could try. I mean, worst case scenario, it's just like a plug-in.
It's just a plug-and-play.
Just a single outlet.
Yeah, it's just like one of those, surge protectors.
Just 12 surge protectors all plugged into each other.
Just flip a switch.
Yeah, like it could just be like a fire hazard, but maybe it's something cool and magic.
I mean, this entire place looks like a fire hazard, so.
Oh, 100%. There's like two exits.
Hiller, you see, sitting on the other end of the bleachers where you used to be sitting, is Sammy Kent with a little bag of popcorn. Just watching you and popping kernels of popcorn into her mouth and smiling.
I think Hiller just whispers out loud, "Boob kid."
Huh?
I said, "Ooh, kid, let's go." I grab Lane's hand and start running for the nearest cable.
Oh, this is new.
Oh. Yeah, instance. Yes. Anyway.
Are we doing this now? Okay. Cool.
Friends do that.
Yeah, totally.
All right, you head over to Jimmy Sparks' area. He has a stage set up right in front of the World War I biplane that is on display, has a big sign from talking about the history of the exposition center and how this was built back in the early days when it was a factory. He's got more cables than it makes any sense for his audio setup because he's just got like a couple of speakers. And he is rocking out with his song, "So Fun, So Cool." And his son, presumably, is trying to take pictures of the performance with his little Game Boy camera, which I don't know if any of you has ever used a Game Boy camera. It's nearly unintelligible, whatever kind of images it creates.
It's so fucking rad.
You might as well like taking a picture using a microwave.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah,
it's so good and useless.
But this kid is like spanning it across the minimal amount of crowd watching Jimmy Sparks perform. But Jimmy is going full hog on this performance.
Okay, cool.
Man's rocking out with his cock out.
All right. Yeah, I know. I was thinking it.
What kind of Game Boy does he have?
I think while Hiller's going to look investigate Game Boy Kid, can I investigate a mystery?
Yes. First, I will answer Hiller's question. He's got the...
Is it a Game Boy Color or Game Boy Light?
No, he has an original Game Boy, but it has a see-through casing. So you can see the motherboard of the actual Game Boy on the inside, which is the exact kind that I had when I was a kid.
Mm. How'd you get one of those? That's crazy.
That's so cool.
Hiller's freaking out.
At the Game Boy.
Yeah.
All right, Lane, roll your investigative mystery.
That is a 7.
A 7. Okay. So what's your question?
The question that I have is, what is being concealed here?
Ooh. Okay. What is being concealed here is that as you are tracking the path of these different cables, it seems like a lot of them are connected to nothing at all. And you pick up a vibe here that the reason there are so many unused cables is to conceal the cables that are being used.
Oh.
Because the thickest cable is tucked around behind the World War I biplane and snakes up into the cockpit.
Hiller, plan B, dude, plan B. Do you see that cable?
Yeah.
I think we gotta go check out the plane, right?
I mean, it's right behind him, right? So, like, if he sees two kids climbing into the fighter plane, then he's gonna know.
He's not gonna see us. He's, like, in the music right now, man.
Okay. That's fair. Real quick, I have a hunch.
Okay.
I turn to the little kid, and I'm like, hey, kid, is that your dad?
Hmm? What? What? Yeah.
Are you, like, little baby Sparks?
I mean, I'm Jimmy Jr.
Jimmy.
Sparks not actually our last name.
Oh, okay. Well, don't tell me your last name, because I'm a stranger.
Kid, what's your last name?
Why are you asking? That's weird.
Yeah, you're right. Okay, sorry.
Yeah, don't mind my friend.
Shoves Lane in the face.
Hey, your dad's kind of cool and has like a lot of cables. That's neat. Like, is he like an electrical guy? He's kind of like a regular Eddie Van Halen up there.
Yeah, I think that he would say he's a regular Eddie Van Halen.
Does your dad like also like electronics like you do?
You seem really interested in asking me all about my dad, and that feels like strange behavior.
I mean, if it's anything, it's because I'm such a really big fan. I want to go up and say hi, but I'm kind of scared, you know? Have you ever been scared before?
No.
That's really cool. I'm proud of you, kid. Well, the point is, I'm scared to meet your dad, so I just wanted to, like, know a little bit about him before, like, going up and asking for his autograph.
There's no need to be scared. Not for much longer.
Sorry.
No, this kid's fucking scary.
The two of you hear a new outpouring of screams from the front entrance as there is a crowd of people who seem to be trying to get out and are unable to do so.
Okay.
Is that near the duck or the abduction alley?
It is not. Speaking of abduction avenue, CJ, you are using all of your strength to hold this crossbar against the machine as it tries to claw at you.
How big is it? I envisioned it being kind of small, but it's like...
It is probably right about 6 feet. So it is like
tall
human height. Yeah, similar to you.
Are the carts still moving?
I will say yes. It is not designed to stop when you break the locking mechanism because this is not that sophisticated of a ride.
Can I try to push the thing down underneath it, underneath the cart, so it hopefully gets run over by the cart?
Yeah, absolutely. Let's give this a try. I think that's probably still a kick some ass roll.
That's a 7.
That's a 7. Okay. You lift this machine off the car, roll down onto the tracks, and hold it in front of you as the car continues moving. It is lacerating your flesh, trying to get itself dislodged.
God,
but you watch the sparks fly as the car continues to slowly roll over it. It's like a steamroller crushing a toaster underneath it. You watch the metal crunch as it gets lodged underneath, and you see the ears disappear off the alien. The head pops off with a sproing, and you see this quick flash of a furry, beaked creature scrambling away on all fours with its claws digging into the ground, and it jumps through a torn up hole in the metal wall behind where the animatronic used to be and runs off.
Can I follow it?
You will take another 1 harm from the scratches you endured as you are holding the machine down, but it is no longer attacking you, and you are free to either you could try and chase after the creature or...
Oh, CJ is absolutely chasing after that creature. He is not letting it get away.
The hole is small, far smaller than you are. This creature probably stands about up to your knee at full height, and it was scrambling on all fours.
CJ sees this critter run through the hole, knows he can't really chase it right now, picks up his gun,
and walks back to the entrance of Abduction Avenue. Is there anybody there?
There's a guy managing the line to get in, and he looks kind of confused because a car came through and didn't come back out again, and now you are here. Also, Terrence just ran through screaming a moment ago.
Oh, yeah, Terry.
I look at the guy and say, "Don't worry, me and Zip will get it." And I cock the gun with one hand, throw it over a shoulder, and walk away towards looking to other screams.
His dude's just like, "I'm sorry,
you have a gun."
Oh, and I'm also out of combat, so I need to mark these for harm, which
That's
gives
right.
me an unstable injury.
Yes. The negative aspect of your ability is that because you were able to withstand all of that harm until you were out of the fight, it all starts to affect you at once. Mm-hmm. You are now at 4 harm out of 7, and you are bleeding badly. If you leave your injuries as they are for too long, this could get worse, and you could take more harm just baseline from walking around with a bunch of actively bleeding wounds.
Mm-hmm.
You do come across the critter as it is chomping down on fluorescent bulbs in one of the nearby booths. And you see sparks running through the individual hairs as it is chewing on the electrical filaments inside the bulbs and growing.
Can I shoot it again? You mentioned before that from long range doesn't...
Correct, yeah. As if you can get yourself into a safer position where you're not immediately threatened, you can roll kick some ass and not take the harm in response.
Yeah, so I think CJ sees the critter and tries to take it out.
All right.
That's a 9.
Okay, on a 9. You just deal the regular amount of harm for your weapon.
Which is two.
All right. You blast this critter in the back. It takes the 2 harm. It splats against the wall of this booth and slides down and just lays there crumpled. Like, it's breathing haggard.
CJ then walks up to the booth with the critter, cocks the gun one more time, and just shoots the critter one more time to make sure that it's down.
Okay, so you deal the 2 harm again, and...
I don't like the cadence there, Robin.
The critter jams one of its claws into the open socket from one of the lights. You see all of the bullets coming out of its stomach, and it claws at your ankle. You take 2 more harm.
Oh.
Here's the thing about Monster of the Week. You cannot kill the monster until you learn its weakness.
Mm-hmm.
So no matter how much lead you pump into this thing...
That would have been wonderful to know before I shot it 3 times.
That's how the game works. Zora, back to you.
So I'm standing face to face, and I want to try and do as quick as I possibly can a little use magic. I have a little ouchie on my hand.
Nice.
Oh. I want to do a little thing that I learned at Mastermind Academy. I'd like to do a little sana sana colita de rana on my hand.
Ooh.
which is just a little blessing, and try and use magic to do that before I try and get out of this situation.
Okay.
Cool.
7. yeah, I have, but I, okay, so I choose an effect, and I have to choose a glitch. So, my one effect is that I'm going to heal 1 harm from my hand injury, and the glitch is that doing this draws immediate unwelcome attention.
Oh, no.
Okay. You do successfully heal your harm. You do this little motion on your hand, and you feel the pain dissipate enough. You get a little more dexterity into your fingers, and you are ready to go again. In the time it takes to do that, though, the duck has properly molded the piston sticking out of the bottom into webbed feet. So it has gained a greater speed and is coming after you. It's going to try and do a little chompy. But you have a moment as it runs at you.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems there is a fire in its eyes. It is determined to take you down now.
I'm going to quickly act under pressure and dodge.
Okay.
Just do like a quick little...
Nice.
No one could see what I did, but pretend I was on a basketball court and I did a little fake. And that's my sports reference for the year.
For the
nice.
Wow.
Hey, you made it all the way to October.
I did.
Kept that one in the bank.
All right. That's not bad. That's a 9.
That's a 9. Very nice. Okay. So it's nice, but it's not great.
It's not great.
Mm-hmm. All right. You do a little fake out, make a turn, and it's enough to distract the duck. So it locks eyes on a new target. And you see CJ's sister, Chrysanthemum, passing by with cotton candy, and the duck scrambles after her.
Oh?
And she screams and starts to run.
Girl, when did you get here?
On the wind, you hear, "It's okay, let her go."
Is that the end of my turn?
Yeah, let's hop over to Lane and Hiller again.
So there is a crowd bottlenecking at the door trying to get out?
Yeah.
I'm going to attune my mind to the monster that's causing that.
Oh, nice.
There is no sign of a monster over there.
Ah, okay. Yeah, that's fair. Can I read the mind of one of the people running towards the door in order to know what is going on with them?
Yeah, totally. I think read a bad situation is probably the better choice here.
Okay. May I roll for that?
You may.
Thank you.
Mother, may I?
The good thing is I'm so close to leveling up that either option here really helps me. Oh, no. That is a 10 on the die. With my sharp, it's a minus 1, so it's a 9.
Damn!
Oh, that's devastating.
That might be the worst outcome.
You get one question.
Is what the fuck one of the questions? You know what? What's the biggest threat?
The biggest threat. They would just be thinking that the biggest threat is that we can't get out! We can't get out!
Damn it. Well, that sucks.
It seems that the door is somehow blocked from the outside. You see, Jimmy is riffing on his guitar. He hits the wow pedal, and nothing seems to change on his guitar, but you hear renewed screams on another corner of the building. You look to see the source of the sound, and you see the dragon wagon track is starting to wobble.
Okay, dude. Shit's bad. I feel like we haven't seen Zora and CJ in a hot minute.
Yeah, they could be dead.
They could be. So,
should one of us try and, like, open the doors?
I don't think there's, like, a way out of here, necessarily, right now.
Okay.
What if we figure out what's going on with the plane, and then also find CJ and Zora, because I feel like Zora always has ideas in situations like this, and I don't know, man, I'm, like, not really good at that.
Yeah, you know what? We will totally rescue Zora in a bit.
You good, man?
Yeah, listen, I'm just not convinced she'd run to my aid if I were in trouble, you know?
Eddie. You good, Eddie? You got everything under control, Eddie.
Man, what the fuck is going on with you, man? That doesn't sound like you.
You know what? I've just been having...
Need a hand, Eddie.
Oh my God, one at a time, everyone.
Dude, it's just me.
Yeah.
Did you take one of the things from my bag? I told you not to just take those. They're unlabeled. I know what they are. You don't know what they are.
Oh, man. It would be so cool if I did, but I did not, in fact. This is fully unmedicated Hiller. Yeah, I only took the meds I was prescribed, and guess what? They don't help with the voices. So, Lane, I just need a second to think. Because I would like to get those people out. And maybe I can, like, throw some fancy jinx at the door in order to try and get it open. Or we could also try and fight the monster. But I don't know what's happening.
Well, listen, we can do whatever you want. I'm sorry. I think I need to maybe find CJ and Zora. I want to make sure that they're okay. I don't want to leave somebody again.
Son of a bitch. Fuck it. No man gets left behind. Fuck it. Let's find the other two.
Yeah, I think as Lane's been talking, if you have any kind of low-level mind reading happening, you're just catching glimpses of memory of Lane panicking and leaving you behind.
Let's go find the others.
CJ.
Yes.
This thing has beefed itself up by zapping energy out of the electrical socket, and it is after you. And it seems like your bullets are not taking it down.
So for the first time since we played the Neil Armstrong Academy of Arts and Sciences last year, CJ is concerned for himself. Because in that game, they got their ass handed to them.
Not including the camp last year.
No.
That game was worse than camp. It was so bad.
They got beat so bad that the fairy creature was nothing in comparison.
For the first time since that game, CJ is concerned and doesn't see a way out of it. And just turns and runs.
Okay. Ooh. You turn and run, and it starts giving chase. Thankfully, it's small and can only move so fast. And while you did have an injury that destroyed your football career, it wasn't to your legs. And you are booking it.
Yeah, with shades of Jim Brown, the famous Cleveland Brown, CJ just runs away back to where everyone split up in the beginning.
After running for a while, you also hear something's going down over the dragon wagon, but you run into Lane and Hiller.
Oh, hey, what's up, Chuckle Nuts?
He is bleeding bad.
Damn, you're looking shittier
than
usual.
Do not.
You look like hell, man. Are you gonna die?
I fought like a fucking, like, gremlin sort of thing, like an electrical gremlin. Oh.
Hell yeah, I love that movie.
That sucks. There's a, like, hold on. Can I do, like, basic first aid? I think that is a thing we can all do just for free, and it gives him one back.
Yes, I believe you can.
I would also like to use magic to heal one harm from an injury.
Great, let's do it.
So I'm going to lay on hands.
Yeah, I think Lane grabs CJ and is like, okay, shit, what do you do? You got to cut the circulation off and then get a bandage and then is like...
Just rub some dirt on it.
Nope, that's definitely not it. My mom has said many times that dirt will contaminate injuries.
Ow!
I don't think this is going to hold, though. I think we might need to get you somewhere with, like, an actual professional. Where's Zora?
Last time I saw Zora, she was at the squirt and duck thing.
Oh, that's, like, right around the corner. Okay, let's find her.
While we're moving, can I use magic?
Yes.
Okay.
So do I recover two harm, one from this magic and one from the...
Well, once I roll well.
Oh.
It's an 8.
That's an 8. Okay.
You know what? I'm going to spread the damage a little bit. I'll take one harm.
Okay.
So that CJ can heal one harm.
You just, like, touch a wound wrong, and I go, ow, and I flinch and just punch you.
Oh, okay.
Sorry, God, that just really hurt. You just, like, stuck your finger in there.
Yeah. Oh, man, right in the buddy maker.
Oh, don't damage the merchandise, Eddie. We need that. Too bad you don't know what's going on. Oh, everything's such a mystery. What do we do?
I'm gonna kill myself to take you with me.
Oh, my God.
Or, maybe you have an ally in here. Maybe you have someone who knows exactly what's going on.
You know what? I'll believe that when I see it, you little shit stain.
Dude, I didn't mean to punch you.
An electrical creature that seems to be connected to a World War I biplane? Whatever could it be?
Oh, fuck. It is my favorite movie. Shit.
Hiller, dude, you figure something out?
Yeah, I think CJ just knocked some sense into me.
What's going on?
You're welcome. I can do it again.
Oh, you know what? One's good.
We're going to cut to Zora. Zora, you have successfully dodged away from the duck and is now going after CJ's sister. What do you do?
Those squirt guns are connected to probably some sort of water source, right?
Ooh. They are.
Great. So I'm going to, I don't know what it would, if it would be act under pressure or kick some ass, but I would like to do one of those and like hop behind the squirt gun thing, turn the gun to face where that, like two of them, I can take one in each hand, mm-hmm. and try and like just squirt water at this thing because it's a machine.
So good.
Ooh. I will say this is an act under pressure roll, but I will let you roll cool or tough.
Okay. They might both be the same. So
that might be.
Sorry, that's a great idea. Check.
That's so
it's
good.
The same thing. So either way, big money, big money.
I assume that
it's
was
really
bad.
Good or it's really
no.
bad.
A 10 plus a 1, baby. That's an 11.
No. Yes.
You pull one of these squirt guns out of its holster. There's a limited reach on these things, so you can't get that far away from the game. But you aim, and you know exactly where to hit. You see the groove under the wing where your knife got in deep, and you aim your little squirt gun and you fire in it, and the sparks arc taller than the tops of the booths all around. The duck starts to shake and dismantle itself, and you see rising out of the top a made of electricity, made of light, sparking little creature that seems to be both enraged and stronger, but it has been forced out of the machine. You see the ears poking out of the top, this little gross looking round beak and gargantuan eyes. And this thing is so mad at you for taking away its toy.
Me?
The rest of you. You see these arcing sparks of electricity going up above the tops of the booths. And you know where that's coming from. That's exactly where you were already heading.
That feels like it probably came from Zora.
Let's move a little faster.
Yeah. Do we see this critter when we get there?
You do. And you see it's moving in on Zora now.
Oh, fuck.
What the shit, fuck?
The way you described it, it made it seem like it was like pure electricity. Does it have like a physical form?
After it is expelled from the machine, in that initial moment, it seems to be made of light and electricity. But now that it is out, it is still the creature you saw. The same kind of creature that you saw, I should add. But it has these sparks running all along it now. So it is a physical creature.
Okay.
And you now know that water will get it out of machines. Is it killable now? Maybe.
Hello? It is turning towards me.
Yeah, no, that thing's bad.
I don't know what that is. I don't know what to do anymore. Usually I know what to do. I don't know what to do right now.
I want to roll read a bad situation.
Okay, roll it. What are you trying to figure out here?
That is an 11. I'm kind of trying to discern this thing's weakness and see if it is water. Like, I'm trying to see what that did. And I think if I were able to ask the read a bad situation question, it would be what's most vulnerable to me.
Okay. Based on what you have witnessed, I think what you can discern is that the water both helped and hurt this creature.
Okay.
It is stronger in its abilities to hurt you, but is also at its most vulnerable. So when it hits, it's gonna hit harder, but your hits do real damage now.
Okay. Oh, actually, I get to hold three on Read a Bad Situation. So what's most vulnerable to me was number one. What's the best way to protect everyone here?
Lane has some street smarts. They have some awareness of things outside of just pills.
Yeah, no, they're not terribly stupid.
How do you deal with electricity? With the ground.
With the ground, yeah.
If you can see something rubber, if you can see something that does not conduct electricity.
Okay.
I feel like in indoor facilities, if there's like a hard floor, like a concrete floor, there would be like rubber mats for people to stand on. Mm. And like in front of the booths and stuff like that for people to stand on and to like cover cables.
I think that's a reasonable call out. It is not covering all the floor, but I will say there are rugs with rubber bottoms outside some of the booths.
Hell yeah.
Bada bing, bada bitch.
Nice. Okay. Yeah. My other question was going to be, are there any dangers we haven't noticed?
Yes. The commotion over at the Dragon Wagon. You catch out of the corner of your eye that the car, which is actually a four-car train with a dragon head on the front, has come completely off the track and is running down the alleyways.
Oh.
People are running in terror, and in the front car with his dad is the little kid that Hiller was talking to on the bleachers earlier.
Ah, damn it.
Okay, I think everybody grab a rug. Grab one of these little mats. I think we need to, we can use rubber to shield ourselves.
I grab one.
Great. Hiller, did you just figure something out? You said CJ knocked some sense into you.
Yeah. Has anyone ever seen the movie Gremlins?
Yeah, absolutely. 100%. Christmas classic.
Great. Why are we grabbing mats?
Because it's electricity. Rubber. Electricity. You know, it's just like, doesn't go in here.
The creature lunges at Zora with sparks shooting from its fingers.
So CJ is going to grab a mat and just bull rush at it and try to like tackle it to the ground and hold it to the ground with the mat.
Okay. Act under pressure.
Okay, great. That's a 12.
That's a 12. All right.
Ooh.
You pull out your full Batman wingspan with this rug in front of you, and your cape's in the front. Don't worry about it. It's like you're a giant flat clown, and you run right at this guy, tackle him to the ground, and you feel it wriggle and writhe and scream.
Stay down.
It sinks down. You feel yourself as you're laying on top of the rug, on top of it. You sink down towards the floor, and there's this horrible singed fur smell as smoke comes up from underneath the rug.
CJ, dude, you fucking did it.
You killed that thing.
Did you see that?
Yeah, dude, you bodied that thing.
That was rad as hell. All
right, I gotta hand it to you. That was pretty cool.
Yeah. That was really nifty, dude.
I'm a hero.
Oh, God. And he ruined it.
Yeah, he's back. Hey, Zora, dude, you okay?
I froze.
Yeah, it wouldn't be the first time.
I think Lane kind of shrugs at Zora and is like, it happens, dude.
I'm surprised you're not sticking up for him. Standing by his side.
I mean, I don't know, man. I freeze all the time.
So then what's your fucking problem with me, Eddie?
What's my problem with you? Oh, I don't know. I mean, I wasn't aware that you needed more people on your side, seeing as how your dad's the mayor and all. Maybe he could call some people in to help with this situation.
Guys!
Or maybe you could throw money at it.
Oh, shut the fuck up, Eddie!
Oh.
The only reason why these monsters have even been unleashed to the point where we can do something about it is because even though I froze when I saw it, I still did something just like I did at camp.
You just didn't do anything to save me.
When I saved... Oh.
Is that...
Oh my God.
Well, hey.
Yeah? What else? You just left me for dead. You didn't have any hospital bills to go through, did you? Because I spent 6 months in the hospital. I was a financial burden to my family. But guess what? But guess what? You weren't, even though your family had the money.
What the fuck was I supposed to do about it? I'm a teenager.
You could have helped me.
You didn't ask. No one even.
Oh, because I was too busy dying.
No one even came to check in with me.
Hey, Jesus.
I was too busy dying to ask.
I was
so
alone.
I'm sorry.
On
I guess that
own.
Is my
Can
fault.
We just stop? Just Hiller, Zora, can both of you just back the fuck off of each other? Okay, like first of all, it's not the time. There's a dragon thing just mowing over booths. Okay, number two. Hiller, you and I both know that Zora's not the person that left you. And we can talk about that later. And we should talk about that later. But it wasn't Zora that left you, it was me.
Fine.
Fine.
Once upon a time, in a county called Sublime, there was a child lost in the woods. Our Lives in the Wood is a horror actual play series exploring the tragic lives and stories of the citizens of Sublime County, orchestrated by one of the Stranger's most devious of servants, the writer. Witness the everyday lives of those lost within this terrible wood and glimpse the hope shining dimly in the dark. Enjoy tightly edited episodes with immersive sound design and a rotating cast of guests playing a wide variety of indie TTRPGs. Brought to you by Tales Yet Told. Wherever you get your podcasts.
My dearest listener, have I got a secret for you? Bitterton is an improvised comedy podcast inspired by the stories of Jane Austen that tells the tale of a wealthy family's secrets, scandals, and shenanigans. Lady Bitterton has unwed daughters, nosy neighbors, awful country cousins, and now a body to hide. Will the Bittertons be able to keep their secrets off the pages of Lady Bigwither's gossip sheet? Or will her pen skewer their good name forever? Oh, Bits, what a predicament. Featuring the voices of Katie Maravich, Iffy Waddyway, Carolyn Page, Alex Songsharp, Brian Flaherty, and Cassie Wilson, plus a dance card filled with guest comedians of the very finest quality. But for us to help the seeds of rumor ripen into the juicy plum of scandal, we'll need your help. Bitterton is heading to Kickstarter on June 13th. Go to bitterton.com to pre-save the campaign and help us bring this story to life. Ta-ta for now.
Did anyone find out any other information? We know that these things... Thanks, Lane... Genuinely, we know that stuff like rubber helps. So, did anyone else find out any other information?
I think it's like gremlins.
What do you mean it's like gremlins?
Eddie tries to do the voice of Murray Futterman from Gremlins. And says, you know, they're still shipping them over here. They're putting them in cars. They're putting them in your TV. They're putting them in stereos, those little radios you stick in your ears. They even put them in watches. They have tiny gremlins for your watches.
You're not supposed to get them wet.
Yeah, that's part of it. Sunlight, I think, might also be a thing. I don't know if that applies here.
In the movie, which you would know as Hiller...
Uh-huh.
Water makes them multiply.
It does help them, yeah.
So we do know, at least, we know pretty definitively that the rules of the movie Gremlins do not apply here quite the same way.
Huh. Can I try to use magic to observe another place or time as a way to recollect the memory of us looking at the blueprint?
Sure.
That's cool.
Whoa.
Go for it.
As usual. I'm on the line, which is a 9.
Okay.
So my effect is I'm going to very, very carefully remember to see if there's some sort of a, like a sprinkler system that could be like
very easily triggered from a specific place. Mm. And the glitch that I am going to choose is that it's of a short duration.
Yeah, got it. Okay. In the back end of the building, you remember there being an employee-only area where, since you were reading blueprints, you saw all electrical lines went there, and also there was a connection to the water lines.
Mm-hmm. And I have shared this information with the group.
Okay, so...
Like the sprinkler system.
Yeah, if we can turn the sprinkler system on, and then that'll make them all fucking freak out like they just, that one just did. And then once they're, you know, freaking out, then maybe we find a way to ground them. What can we use to do that? Is there a roll that I can make to look around to see what we can maybe use to ground these electric critters?
Yeah. Read a bad situation.
Okay, that's a 9.
A 9. Okay, you get one question.
What's the best way to protect the victims?
So, there's a lot of various attractions, games, and things at an amusement park. There is an area covered in rubber mats where people are wrapped in giant rubber balls and slamming into each other.
Nice.
And you see Coop is one of them.
Okay, so I point over to that and I'm like, okay, there's a shitload of rubber over there, and you know what? Coop looks like he's having a great time. So, what if we... Will it work, do you think, if we get all of the, you know, kind of critters and stuff over to that area and then trigger the sprinkler system?
I think we could just put on the balls and just run through the critters.
That's true, too. I don't know how well we're going to move around in those little rubber balls, but we could try.
Question, do we know Jimmy's... Sparks's involvement in this, because his kid seemed pretty freaky.
He was like a really weird, ominous kid with like a really big vocabulary.
Okay, so then,
and a really cool Game Boy, but that's beside the point.
Okay, so then, what's your thought?
I think he's like controlling them. I think he's like leading them.
The kid, like with the Game Boy?
No, sorry, the dad.
Oh,
he's got a bunch of cables and shit, right?
Yeah.
I have an idea.
Yeah, what is it?
I'm gonna go pee on his pedal board.
Oh, I was just thinking, like, we could unplug stuff. But yeah, hey, you know what? If that works, smoke him if you got him, man. I'll just...
A year ago, I couldn't fart out a fire, but I will pee on a pedal board.
Cool, dude. I was just gonna unplug stuff. So maybe I'll go wait by the wall and unplug stuff if that doesn't work?
I think we can do all the above, you know?
Yeah, totally.
There's something... I'm trying to remember. There was something that we needed. It was in the blueprints.
Yeah, you were going to go to the sprinklers in the back.
I feel like I need to go now or else it's gonna slip away.
Well, Zora, do you want, like, company or anything? I mean, I think I heard everything you said about where things were.
Yeah, sure. Pick up a mat and let's go see if we can trigger the sprinkler.
Yeah, y'all want to go piss on that pedal board?
Yeah.
Thought you'd never ask.
All right, Clown Jizz, you coming with me?
I mean, hey, Crusty Face, you wanna need help peeing, or you need help peeing? What the fuck am I saying?
Crusty Face, do you need help peeing? Okay, Siege. Okay, we're gonna get you to bed after this.
All right, Zora, let's go.
Come on.
Look, I lost a lot of blood.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm gonna go get one of those big balls.
Nice.
Get one of those big balls.
Yeah, get you some big balls.
You get them wet, and I'll get the balls.
My God.
And break.
Right.
Lynn Jesus. And I already left.
Yeah, we're gone.
Let's follow CJ to the big old ball area.
Okay.
All right, you come up. There is a lineup of people, and it seems like there's kind of a weird hullabaloo over here. Coop is standing, arms spread out on either side, awkwardly inside of one of these big rubber balls, and he is arguing with three other people also in these big rubber balls that are all just kind of awkwardly standing around each other, unable to put their arms down. And he's like, no, I understand you're allotted 5 whole minutes, but I'm telling you, We need all of you to get out of these. They're gonna be needed. I promise. It's a whole thing. We just, like, can we all just stop? And he gets knocked over and he's just rolling around on the ground as these, like, bullies are laughing at him.
CJ walks up to Coop, who he doesn't know, and says, hey, man, I'm gonna need one of these balls.
Yeah, absolutely. We gotta get somebody out of one of them, though. I mean, I guess you could take mine. And he just, like, starts trying to wiggle himself out of it.
Oh.
I help him.
Oh, yeah.
lift it up.
Okay. These are douchebags right here, but I'm going to try and convince them to get out of them. But yeah, go for it. Take it. Go.
Appreciate it.
Do your thing.
Bye. And CJ takes the ball and goes back to where the other
cool
were.
Hiller, you run over towards Jimmy Sparks' area, and you don't see any sign of him.
Damn it. I was too late. I hurriedly zip back up.
You see, just like, this area was very disrupted by the discovery that the front door is locked. So you see more and more people trying to figure out how to get out and freaking out. And just standing alone on the stage in front of the World War I biplane is Jimmy Jr. holding his Game Boy with the Game Boy camera. But instead of the lens of the Game Boy camera, it's one giant red eye with two ears over it.
I was going to steal that.
You better not. You better not come over here.
Yeah, or what, kid?
Bad things are going to happen. And they need to happen. Okay?
Oh, why?
Because they have to. Because I'm sorry you're here. But bad things have to happen to some people who are here.
So I'm going to say, look, kid, I'm going to level with you. It seems like you don't want to do what you're doing right now. It seems like your dad really wants some people to get hurt, but it seems like you don't want people to get hurt. Am I right about that?
Don't come any closer.
Hey. Nobody said anything about coming closer. I just want to make sure that I understand clearly what you want.
You hear the Game Boy in his hands go, they gotta pay for what they did.
Who?
I never met my aunt, but Dad says that they did bad things, and they hurt my aunt, and that they gotta pay. The whole family has to pay for how our family paid. So you better not get in our way, because
this is Miranda Craven you're talking about. Is it Aunt Randy?
Roll manipulate someone.
That's a 14, baby.
14.
That's wild. Double sixes.
There you go.
Miranda's not my aunt, you asshole.
Okay.
I'm not a Craven, I'm a Kent. My aunt went to this, I don't know, this stupid camp thing to be a counselor, and she never came back. My dad said that these Cravens or carpenters or something have just been taking people to this camp for years and years and years and just keep hurting people there.
Ah. Here's the thing, friend. That camp has been dismantled. It has been sent to business heaven or business the other one. H-E double hockey sticks. So, That camp doesn't exist anymore. And its staff are also liquidated due to certain teenagers that I happen to know fairly well. And I know what it's like to be hurt.
They're going to know what it's like to be hurt.
Okay.
I don't know what you did at that camp, but I know that Miranda Craven and Clifford Carpenter are here. His dad made sure they would be. And they're gonna get what's coming to them. Zora and Lane. Yup.
Damn it.
You are running to the back end of the building.
Yeah.
And you hit the far wall. There's another crowd of people trying to get in through the back door, which is also blocked. But you find a separate door that says employees only.
Cool. Yeah, you said it was an employees only door. It's that one.
Yeah. Is it locked? I'm opening the door.
It is locked.
I believe that we have established Lane as someone who may or may not have an affinity for picking locks.
Right.
That's right.
Can I give that a shot?
I think this would be act under pressure, but I will let you roll sharp for it.
Okay.
Because this is something in your wheelhouse. This is not something that would cause you to panic.
That is double sixes plus two is a 14.
Yes.
I think this is muscle memory for Lane.
Oh, yeah. You pop this open like it's nothing.
No, it's not locked. You're good.
It wasn't locked, actually.
Yeah, it wasn't locked. It's open. You loosened it up for me.
You hear inside this room guitar music.
No one sing anything because I got chills and I have to sleep in here. The guitar music is inside this room?
Yes.
Coming from this room, not a speaker in this room. It's in this room.
Correct.
Is Jimmy Sparks in here?
Gonna have to read a bad situation.
Go ahead and read. I assumed that y'all were having this conversation on the other side of the door before you went in.
Oh, yeah. So we haven't gone inside yet.
You have not gone inside yet.
All right. I, Zora Lee Copeland, rolled a 7.
That's a 7.
Out of 7, that's one question. What's your one question?
And my one question is, what can the guitar music do?
Great question. From what you've noticed between the two of you so far, something happens when Jimmy switches from playing music to making strange sounds. It seems as though Jimmy is communicating or even directing the creatures towards specific things. The fact that he has moved away from his setup that was connected to the audio system of the whole building and gone into here means that he has moved to a new phase of his plan and must be communicating more intimately with something else inside this room. In fact, actually, Zora, you're very smart.
Thank you. I am.
The best approximation of the sound you hear on the other side of this room is Morse code.
Oh.
That guitar music, it sounds like Morse code. You know, like they would use it to communicate like messages, sometimes even about danger during like World War One.
I was going to say, I was like really checked out during history class. Was that like a World War One thing or World War Two thing?
No, it started in World War One.
Okay, so there's a fighter jet.
Based on this conversation, I will say either one of you can make another investigate a mystery roll.
Okay.
But I'm going to call the question.
That is a 9.
Okay, on a 9. One question. What sort of creature is it? You've been talking about gremlins and thinking about World War One and this biplane. For some reason, one little factoid pops out at you from sitting in history classes. There were mechanical failures of World War One biplanes. And there was a kind of tall tale, a story that went around amongst the pilots, blaming mechanical failures on little creatures that would go around and fuck up the electrical system and cause the planes to crash. The superior officers let this story spread because they thought it would be better to blame some mythical unknown force on the malfunctions of the planes versus the pilots thinking that the planes were shoddy or that the government was involved or if their fellow pilots were sabotaging their airlines. And that's where the story of Gremlins first came about.
Man, Mr. Taylor really made that one history class, like, really interesting.
He was also a big fan of the movie Gremlins, but wanted to set the record straight.
Shout out real life Mr. Taylor. I just named our fictional history teacher after him. He was sick.
Okay.
I think he's communicating with the plane.
With the plane?
Yeah.
Oh, God, Hiller's there.
Okay, this is kind of fucked up, but...
And I think Lane takes a really deep breath and unties their shoelace and wraps it around their hands and is like,
I think I want to hide. And if we can get him looking in another direction, I might be able to sneak up on him and attack him.
With your shoelace?
Yeah.
Like, and Zora mimes like choking with the shoelace.
Yeah, dude, okay, I know it's fucked up. I'm not trying to kill him. I don't want to try to kill him. And this is honestly kind of freaking me out a little bit. But like, you were talking about freezing and I can't let Hiller down again.
Okay, I'll try and distract him.
Let's cut to CJ. CJ, you are suited up.
Yeah, this feels good.
Coop's like, you look good.
Thanks, man.
Hey, by the way, dude.
Yeah.
Love your work.
Thanks.
Yeah, absolutely.
What?
Don't worry about it. We got stuff to
work?
Do. Go for it.
What the fuck is Coop's deal?
You three. Hey, in the balls.
What?
You want to run into some stuff?
Roll manipulate someone.
Fair, actually. That's really valid.
I'm going to use a luck point because that was a 3.
All right. That's Ooh. Two of your 3. But that's a success. The three of them are like, hell yeah. Where are we going?
I say, follow me. And I run to the plane because I know that Hiller will be there.
As you are running, you notice off to your right, down the main thoroughfare, the dragon wagon is rolling down. People are jumping out of the way. There are kids on the ride screaming in terror.
Could I read a bad situation?
Yes, you may.
Oh, no. That's a 6.
It's a 6. You use your last luck point.
Yeah, you know what? Let's do it. Last luck point.
Oh,
here we go.
Here for a long, good time, not a long time.
But that gives you 3 questions.
That might be true.
You could get all the information you might need.
I also find a dangerous lead on our prey.
Ooh.
I'm going to ask, what's the biggest threat? So kind of, is it the dragon ride or the bigger thing?
Mm-hmm.
What's the best way to protect the victims? And we'll go with what's my best way in.
Okay. I think the biggest threat right now in your vicinity is the dragon wagon itself.
Okay.
I think that the best way in and what's most vulnerable to me are kind of the same token here, as well as the best way to protect the victims, honestly.
Okay.
The dragon wagon is heading your way. Between you and the dragon wagon, a little off to the side, is the Lucky Ducky Squirt and Shoot.
Oh, great.
And the one, your bonus thing,
mm-hmm.
which you might not deal with right now, but your dangerous lead, you see up in the Ferris wheel, near the top, Cliff and a woman that you do not recognize are trapped in one of the gondolas near the top.
On a distant wind, you hear Lane go, let them go.
Does the woman look like Lane?
No. The woman looks like Cliff.
Yeah, they're fine up there.
This is a real convenient way to get Lane not to have a weird stepdad.
Yeah, that seems like a 2 birds with 1 stone kind of situation. Hey, guys, grab a gun, shoot it at the dragon ride. Just trust me.
Okay, my arms are kind of out to here, but I'll see what I can do.
Get out of the bubble.
Get out of the bubble?
Get out of the bubble.
Like, wriggling their way out. It's a process.
God.
Good, now grab a gun.
So you line up 4 gunners.
Yeah.
With your little squirt pistols. I will take act under pressure or kick some ass.
I'm going to do kick some ass.
Okay.
That's a 12.
Yes.
What is your extra effect?
I would like to force them where I want, which is away from people.
Okay. The four of you line across the path, squirt guns out, and start firing.
Say hello to my little friend.
There it is.
God.
Perfect. The dragon wagon looks crazed. The mouth at the front has become a beak, and it's just like snapping like a Pac-Man, trying to eat anyone in its path. But as the water flow comes from the little squirt pistols, it clearly knows that it does not want to interact with water. So it veers off to the left to try and get away from the water and barrels right into the Lucky Duck Squirt and Shoot booth.
Mm.
And the water tank on the other side of it.
Nice.
Back in the balls. Back in the balls.
Back in the balls. Back in the balls.
Just the squeakiest of sounds coming from the Lucky Duck Squirt. Just these wet boys getting back into their little rubber
God.
We've all suits. Taken our shirts off at this point.
God.
Hiller, you are here with this kid holding a gremlin in his hands.
Listen, kid, I understand that you want to seek vengeance against these two. Believe me, I would also like vengeance against Cliff Craven, Carpenter, that alliterative imbecile. But there's so many other people here. And here's the thing, bud, that your dad might not be counting on is that you're also here. You're in danger. These little guys, they are so much more interested in doing whatever they want to do as opposed to what your dad wants to do. I think there's going to be a breaking point where they stop listening.
Eddie
is doing his damnedest to stay on subject for the first time in his life.
You got this, Hiller, dude. You got this.
This is the most control he's ever had over his mouth as he tries desperately not to listen to the voices in his head for once.
Eddie, they don't know what they've unleashed, but I know what they've unleashed, and it's going to get so much worse. So much worse.
Hey, kid, real quick. I got to take a phone call. Do you have like 5 seconds? Cool. Don't listen to anything I say. It's adults only. I turn around and I go, you're the reason that this happened. If you hadn't have taken Sammy Kent and done whatever Faye bullshit, this wouldn't have happened. So honestly, this is your fault. You understand?
I didn't set the gremlins loose, Eddie.
But you clicked the dominoes, bud.
But I know how to put them back.
That's the thing, is I'm gonna end up like Sammy Kit.
You don't have to.
Yeah, why's that?
If we make an agreement, and you help me out. Help me out. I'll take care of your little gremlin problem for you. If the gremlins do what they mean to do, not what James Kent means, but what the gremlins mean to do, electricity's not what it used to be. They could get into power lines, telephone lines, cables that track across the nation. They could spread, Eddie. They could take down every major city. They could go cross-country. They could cover the globe. You let one of those little freaks loose, it'll become 10,000 in a day.
Okay. I'll bite. When you say out, what do you mean?
In order for me to have the power I need to really help, I need a body.
Hmm.
Right now, I'm riding alongside with you.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to end up like Sammy. You said you didn't.
Nope.
So we'll put option A aside for now. Option B Give me someone else. Anyone else.
So you can kick them out of the car, is that it?
There are bad people out there. Just give me somebody. And I'll make all this go away. And then I'll be on my merry way to take my forest back. And I'll leave you and your precious civilization behind. What do you say, Eddie? You give me you, you give me some asshole, or you see what your scrawny ass can do by yourself.
Hey!
Yes, it's scrawny. I know you're trying to turn this around. I know that ass.
That was a little below the belt.
Hey, I've been inside this body for too long. I'm making quips now.
God. God, you wormy little bastard.
Lane and Zora.
Yeah.
We've been whispering.
Yeah, we make a little plan, and then Lane slips into the shadows.
I'm gonna roll to try and fucking kick down this door. He might be waiting, and I might receive some harm, but what would that roll be?
I'm gonna have you roll Act Under Pressure.
All right. That is a 12 with my plus one.
Nice! Yes!
Very nice.
Zora,
okay.
Heck yeah.
You kick this door open. You see Jimmy there, one foot on the wah pedal of his guitar, making strange sounds come out of it. And you see a currently 9 foot tall, furry monstrosity sucking down on the main electrical grid. It's ripped open the breaker box and is just chowing down. And Jimmy strums his guitar and it turns away from the breaker box and looks at you and leaps out. You manage to duck out of the way, and that opens up Lane's opportunity, but it's not Jimmy coming through, it's the creature.
Our impression from everything that we've gathered is that Jimmy is controlling these things, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Or trying to.
Okay.
But his hands aren't free. He needs to use his hands.
Yep. He needs to use his hands to play the guitar.
Lane is going to very nervously step around to the back of Jimmy. I think for the first time in their life, Lane actually takes one of the anxiety meds that they were prescribed. Okay. You got it. For Hiller. And then is going to edge around behind Jimmy.
You are approaching.
Okay.
As you do, the giant gremlin is running up on Zora. Whether Zora tries to run or do something else is up to her.
I'm going to try to deal with Jimmy because I think he's the one like manning the ship here. Mm-hmm. I'm going to sneak up behind Jimmy. I'm going to attack him with my shoelace, which mechanically I am set up with a garrote in this game.
Uh-huh.
That does 3 harm at intimate range. I have sneaky, which adds 2 to that when I am rolling from behind. So that is 5. I don't know if I'm rolling kick some ass on this because he's not fighting me back.
That is very much a kick some ass roll.
Okay.
I have this mat and I really just want to let Lane do what they need to do.
Okay.
So I think I'm also going to roll a kick some ass.
Nice. Come on, Zora.
I think in this case, this is probably more of a protect someone roll than a kick some ass roll.
Sure.
Because the rug is not a weapon.
Sure.
Lane, we can resolve your roll.
Yeah, I rolled a 6, so I'm going to use my second to last luck point to make that a 12. I'm going to use inflict terrible harm, so that is going to be a total of 6 harm to Jimmy fucking Sparks.
And I rolled a 9.
Okay. Not bad.
Lane, you wrap this shoelace garrote around Jimmy's neck and he struggles against you, tries to keep playing the guitar, and he slams back against you and your back slams into the wall and you take 2 harm from that. And then Jimmy slumps down and stops moving and drops the guitar to the ground.
Sorry.
Does anything happen with the critter outside?
On a 9, Zora, you are wrestling with this gremlin. It is much larger than the others. It is fully 9 feet tall, and it is supercharged. You tackle it to the ground, and you have the grounding wrapped around it, but you take 5 harm.
5? That's with only some harm? Jesus.
Are you down?
I'm dying. That filled up my thing.
Oh my god.
CJ.
Back in the balls, baby.
Back in the balls.
Jesus.
You hop back into the balls and you run over to the back end of the Lucky Ducky Squirt and Shoot, where there is an electrified gremlin climbing out of the water barrel. What do you do?
I need you to bully this thing. Bully it like you've never bullied before. Call it names, hit it, go to town.
And I start trying to ram into it with the ball.
Roll, kick some ass for yourself, manipulate someone for the others.
This will be the manipulate someone. Remember, I have no luck points left.
Oh,
that's a 12 to manipulate them, though.
Nice.
Oh, that's a 13.
Nice.
Oh,
you
shit.
Get plus 3 harm on your attack.
Nice.
From the help of the others.
Oh, sick. And then for my kick some ass, I'm going to take, I inflict terrible harm.
All right. The 4 of you surround this thing and leap on him all at once. It's an awkward visual as you all just crash into each other and tumble back onto yourselves. But you smell that noxious burnt hair smell as you body this so successfully that when you all slap into each other, the head just pops off and rolls away as the rest disappears into smoke.
Yeah,
nice.
Chest bump.
There you go,
chest
bump.
Let's go to the plane. Let's go.
To the plane. All right.
To the plane. Yeah, let's go.
There's so many Californians in Northeast Ohio.
There's a lot of Californians. There's going to be a lot of transplants in Northeast Ohio.
They're visiting. It's summer.
Yeah, they're on vacation at the amusement park.
Yeah, it's their grandparents.
You come up on Hiller, seemingly standing off against this little kid and talking to himself.
Ed, you good?
I've been agonizing for the past, 10 minutes. I think in the year that Eddie Hiller has housed this fairy worm, I think some of it has rubbed off on him. I think in this moment, I'm going to take the biggest swing of all. And I think Eddie would be extremely careful with his words.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he would say, "You're a creature of word, right?"
"Sure."
"So I need your word that my friends will walk out of here unscathed, and that you will do your damnedest to stop these gremlin knockoffs. And if you promise to do that, I will let you have my body this minute." And I want to roll manipulate.
Roll it.
Mm-hmm.
I rolled a 4, but I am going to expend a luck point to bump it up to an automatic 12.
What happens after the minute, Hiller?
Listen, bud, it's a rental.
Deal.
And CJ, as you come up on this sight of Hiller on the stage with this little kid with a raging Game Boy, Hiller hunches over. He starts shaking, his body moving around unnaturally, and wings sprout from his back. He lunges forward, grabbing the Game Boy out of the kid's hand, and crushes it in his fingers. You see the sparks fly out of it as a gremlin leaps out of the Game Boy and tries to scurry away. Fairy Hiller points a finger to the sky, and a little spurt of fire flies up, up, up to the ceiling.
Mm-hmm.
To one of the sensors on the sprinkler system.
Mm-hmm.
It starts to rain all across the park, where Zora is laying unconscious, the giant gremlin wriggling, trying to get to somewhere safe, away from the rug. The rain from the sprinkler system falls down, hits the gremlin. It sparks, and it's already grounded. It immediately dissipates.
Ooh.
Hiller, you fly up.
Fuck yeah!
You having fun, buddy?
Is what I would be saying.
40 seconds.
I'm counting.
The fairy points at CJ.
CJ points his gun back.
And you feel the rubber ball all around you pressing tighter. And at first you think, is this trying to kill me? Is this trying to suffocate me? But no, the pressure is on your wounds that start to close up. Lane, you have let go of the garrote, having left the perpetrator of this terrible event lying there on the ground, and you come out to see Zora not moving. Another spark flies from the fairy's finger, and Zora takes in a breath.
Oh, fuck, Zora, you okay?
I heard your deal. You said unscathed, right?
I did.
30 seconds. The fairy flies up to the Ferris wheel, to one particular gondola on the Ferris wheel. You see, through eyes that are both yours and not yours, Clifford Carpenter and Miranda Craven, cowering in fear. Your arm rips the door off of the gondola, and the fairy says, 20 seconds. 20 seconds, which one? Which one? Which one, Eddie?
What do you mean by that?
You gave me a minute, I'm using it.
And you're gonna save them.
Your friends are going unscathed, and so am I. The fairy grabs Miranda Craven.
Shit.
Puts your mouth against hers, and you feel the power leave you.
Damn, fuck, I didn't prepare a second character sheet.
You drop, and Clifford reaches out and catches you. You are hanging 70 feet above the ground as Clifford desperately tries to keep you from falling further. And Miranda Craven, who looks down at her watch and says, appears I only needed 55 seconds. Thank you, Mr. Hiller.
You broke your promise.
What did I break?
I said I'd give you my body this minute.
And I used it for what I needed.
I didn't give you anybody else's.
All I needed was the power to take it for myself. Bye, Eddie. And Miranda raises up into the sky and through the glass ceiling.
Wow.
Through the glass ceiling.
And flies off into the night.
At least she's breaking the glass ceiling.
Yeah. I support women's rights and wrongs, too. Okay.
In this house, we support women's wrongs.
We sure do. I think from a distance, Lane sees Hiller kiss a weird lady. The Ferris wheel.
Oh, I kissed your sister, dude.
Cliff pulls you back into the gondola just in time for it to start moving again. You crest over the top of the National Exposition Center and see the view of Cleveland at night. It's strangely peaceful as you drift up and back down to the ground.
I think on the way down the Ferris wheel, I just sort of sit there somberly with Cliff. And I think I say, I'm sorry. I have a lot of apologies to make. Zora and Lane and Cauliflower. And I'm sorry Clifford the Big Red Dog. I thought I was smart, and I got your sister possessed, and you just saved my life. And I've been calling you a tool bag for like a year, sometimes to your face. And you have not great taste in women. And
insult Lane's mom.
That's fair. She kind of sucks.
I gotta call him like I see him.
Eddie, I am a tool bag, and you were right to call me out. I'm working on it, which I guess we all are.
At least you're working on it.
Lane and Zora.
Did you get him? Did you get him?
I think so. I think something else might have got him. I saw Hiller kiss a weird lady on the Ferris wheel. And if I'm honest with you, I don't know how I feel about that. But, are you okay?
I'm tired, Lane.
Yeah, me too. I'm gonna try to just do at least first aid for Zora, just make sure she's not dying anymore.
You go to do the first aid, and other than Zora was gone for a minute there, any injuries she sustained are closing up.
Lane checks in with himself a little bit and discovers, I think very much to their surprise, that they are not panicking. And I think I try to help Zora up, get an arm under her, and say, okay, you seem to be doing okay.
You also seem to be doing okay, which is weird.
Yeah, it's really weird, man. I need to talk to Hiller. You need a snack.
I think I need to talk to you real quick.
Yeah, sorry, I kind of went after Jimmy Sparks, but I didn't realize the big gremlin was going to come after you. That's my bad.
No, but you went after Jimmy Sparks. I don't know, I think I had this idea that you were someone who didn't really follow through, you know, who didn't really look out for anyone other than maybe yourself and Hiller, kind of, but you went after Jimmy to help everyone. And that is including me. I know I got hurt, but that's because I wanted to fight alongside you.
I don't know, dude. You're really brave and smart and cool.
Yeah.
And honestly, I'm kind of chicken shit most of the time. Not everybody can be brave like that. And I think last year I found that out the hard way.
Yeah, I bet.
And I don't want to do that anymore.
I'm going to go see if I can get some water, I guess.
That's probably a good idea. You look kind of pale.
No one leave without me?
I mean, we were already pulling the car around back. Yeah, no shit. Go get yourself a snack.
I think Lane finds Hiller. And I think they just look at each other for a second. And then I think Lane just tackles Hiller in a hug.
I think Hiller starts crying.
Yeah, I think Lane starts crying too. I think they just hug. I don't think there's words exchanged.
I think the most Hiller says is, I got something in my eye.
Lane says nothing, but Hiller, if he's reading minds still, just hears, I'm sorry.
Hiller is not reading minds.
Ooh, nice. Mm. Okay. Yeah, then I think we just hug it out. I mean, we'll talk about all this later, but it's just good to have a friend back.
Elsewhere in the park, there are some people who didn't realize that anything wrong had even happened, that are continuing to enjoy their night. It's a pretty big park. But one individual in particular, strutting about like he owns the place, got nice shoes, got a nice jacket, is wandering curious through the wreckage of the Lucky Duck Squirtin' Shoot, and comes across in amongst charred, wet, exploded stuffed animals, he finds this severed head with long pointy ears, and a little beak.
God damn it.
And in the debris, a bit of fluff from one of the stuffed animals is stuck up under its chin. And he picks it up, takes a look at it, and goes, well, fuck. This furry little baby's kind of cute.
God damn it.
Hey, Jeremy, how quick do you think that we could manufacture these on a national scale? CJ, Coop runs up to you with another person who seems to be walking very casually. Coop reaches for your hand, shakes it, and says, that was a great job, man. That was so cool. God, story of the century right there.
Who are you?
Oh, I guess we never talked. I talked to Lane for a second. I've been following Lane for like the past year. But, yes, sorry. Hi, I'm Special Agent Cooper Lynch, and, this is my boss. And stepping up from behind Coop and through Coop.
What?
This very official-looking woman. She has cauliflower.
Don't.
It's lovely to meet you.
Don't call me that, please.
My apologies.
Thank you.
CJ, my name is Special Agent Evelyn Barker, and I have a job offer for you and your friends. And that is where we will leave the Carnival of Craven.
Thank you so much for listening to our two-part Halloween spooktacular Carnival of Craven. It was an absolute labor of love, and I'm so glad that you all came along on the journey with us. Want to show your support for our show? Want to hear us talk more about it? Then check out our Patreon at patreon.com/magehandhighfive. For the smallest, minuscule, microscopic $5 a month, you can get in on the down low and hear a whole second extra podcast where we talk about the behind the scenes of the show. We've got an episode coming up next week talking all about both Terror at Camp Craven and Carnival of Craven, and you do not want to miss it. Not only that, but we have merchandise on the way, and our Patreons get exclusive early access before anybody else. So now is the perfect time to get on board. Come along with us. Thank you to Shane Smith for our Mage Hand High Five logo, and to me, Robin Langenhop, for our cover art. Check out our website at www.magehandhighfive.com and look for us all across social media. We're on Instagram, TikTok, Twitter, Facebook, Discord, and wherever else we may be. We're going to be there at Mage Hand High Five. If there's a social media platform that we're not on and you want us there, let us know. We might be able to get right on board. Go to your podcatcher of choice and throw a 5-star review our way. I'm collecting them, and they're so lovely. I put them on display. They make me so happy. And now I'm going to shout out all of our subscribers on Patreon, and I'm very happy to say that this one's going to be more of a challenge than usual. Mads Bordeaux, Sky Cow, Elephantasmal, Morgan Faber, Kathleen Ayers, Andrew, Kellen Wilbur, Trout Relief, Chronic Dreamer, Patrick Hickman, Debbie, Nathan Ritter, Chicken Too Tasty, Evan Noon, Avery Spar, A.M. Lovelies, Ellison DeVelvis, Doss Carpenter, Diana Bacon, Al Forestoki, Liz Spar, Carrie Lee, Jonathan Gunn, Tyler Gardner, Eldest Soul, Julata Pang, Laura, Al, Chloe Utley, and Sammy Richardson. Ooh, now you're all giving me a real challenge. Let's make it harder together. Tell your friends about the show. Tell your foes about the show. Tell the spooky, scary, giant 10-foot skeletons in front of every single house in the neighborhood. They're everywhere. I love them. They're fantastic, but there are too many, and they're gonna invade my house. It's gonna be bad. I'm watching out for them. There's something up. The revolt is coming. But when you tell them, use the hashtag MHH5, and hey,
how about a high five?